Last week, we asked you to tell us how you're coping with the economic downturn, how you're dealing with high gas and food prices.
Well, close to 150 of you responded, and most of your letters described lifestyle changes, large and small. Here's a sample of what we heard. A few of you said that you decided to move closer to work.
Listener Brandy Gunn tells us that 6 months ago, she and her husband and their two young children sold their house in the country and moved 25 miles into Williamsburg, Virginia, in part to save on fuel costs.
We're used to a culture of people who are fine with driving everywhere, but we really aren't. And so we, between the expense of it and time lost and fuel consumption, we decided to move into town. So it meant that we gave up a house in the country that we loved with a neighborhood that we adored. But we, you know, now we have the time with each other and our gas bill is a lot lower.
How much lower?
Let's see. We were spending anywhere between $180 and $230 in gas per month. And now spend about $75.
That's a big change.
It's a huge change. It makes a lot of difference.
Now, how are you getting around if you're not using the car so much?
Well, we actually use, we've got this double jogger that's kind of tired and worn by now, but we pop the kids in that. So if I go to the library, for instance, which is about a mile away from the house, they kind of, you know, eat snacks or read books on the way. And we've got a grocery store that's right across from our apartment complex. We can walk there. If we decide to pop out for something in the evening, we ride the bike. It's very convenient. And Williamsburg is a really, really walkable town. So that's very, it's great.
That's Brandy Gunn.
Teresa Matola of New Albany, Indiana, writes this, I have inadvertently become a new American. I think a lot of people will be living like me soon. I lost my house and then my business in the downturn that isn't a recession. Shh, don't tell anyone. I had to sell my car. I moved my family to an apartment close to my work, and we get around by bike and bus. We are living completely within our means and without credit. It's very different, but surprisingly pleasant.
Craig Noonan of Lansing, Michigan, has made a number of changes. Like quite a few of you, he's biking more, anywhere within 10 miles of his home. He's also buying day-old bread and getting books from the library.
And next month I will be learning how to make bread, and I'll start fishing as well to supplement my food.
Where are you going to learn how to make bread?
I actually looked up a couple things on the internet. And I've got two recipes that seem easy for first-timers, so it'll be a bit messy, I'm sure, but I'm hoping for the best.
the things that you're doing differently now, was the motivation sort of global? In other words, these are good things to do for the planet, or was it really economic that you were realizing that your budget was pinched?
It was economic, kind of feeling helpless in terms of rising gas prices, which means rising food prices, and just seeing it as a vicious circle and what could I do. And I wanted a little bit more control than I felt I had.
You said something in your email to us that caught my eye, and that's you wrote, I enjoy more now that I'm forced to slow down.
Oh, yeah. It was a terrific thing that I discovered. Riding to work, I realized how frustrated I was getting from the drive into work. And after I started feeling that, I was like, well, what would happen if I walked to the grocery store? How, you know, and I get there and I'm not as rushed and I enjoy the process more. And I was really surprised. It was a benefit that I didn't expect.
That's Craig Noonan.
Here's how Rebecca Keppen is coping in Ignacio, Colorado. She writes, since I work from home, I'm limiting my trips to town to 3 days a week. I've decided I don't need a shower every day. Every other day will do. I'm getting serious about my veggie garden and buying a freezer to put my summer's produce in. I'm buying less expensive cuts of meat and eating more beans.
In Renton, Washington, Karen Fuller is also cutting back on her food bill. She has two children, ages 10 and 11. The family gets free food through a local cooperative gleaning program, food left over from stores or restaurants.
It's mostly produce, fruits and vegetables, but occasionally we get milk. Sometimes we get mystery cans that are just not labeled.
Oh, and don't know what's inside.
Right. It's really fun. You never know what you're going to get, and it improves our diets because, of course, fruits and vegetables are expensive, but also we're kind of forced to try new things and deal with that. So at first my kids were like, what is this, from the gleaners? And I said, yeah. But they've tried all sorts of stuff.
You have two kids who are 10 and 11.
Uh-huh.
How do they feel about all this? Are they asking for things that you just can't afford to get them? There's so much peer pressure with things and stuff.
Yeah, it's a daily battle. Their friends have things, they see things that they want, and they want to go out to eat. We used to go out to eat about once a month as a regular thing, and we don't anymore. And the basic answer is, I'm sorry, we can't afford that right now.
That's listener Karen Fuller.
Listener Steve Hill of Redwood City, California says, I would say the impact on my wife and me is probably on the low side of average. We seem to be Luddites about many things. Our home computer is still gasp dial-up. We turn off lights when we leave a room. We watch very little TV. These are the habits of a lifetime which come from parents who either lived through the Depression or told us that if we couldn't pay cash for it, we probably could do without it.
Finally, we'll hear from 21-year-old Erica Garcia. She lives with her parents in Sun City, Arizona. Her family has a number of health-related expenses, and Erica has a 90-mile round-trip commute each day to her job as a data entry specialist. She remembers paying $20 to fill up her tank. Now she's paying almost $50.
We don't really buy groceries as much as we used to. We just keep, you know, certain non-perishables around. Like, I buy McLena's, which are 98 cents each, and I eat two of those a day.
What are those?
They're like frozen lunches. They have a cheese manicotti that's not bad at all. And, you know, like little chicken nuggets and french fries.
So this is frozen food that you're heating up?
Yeah, in the microwave.
you said you're not buying groceries. Does that mean you're not buying fresh fruits and vegetables?
No, they're just too expensive. You know, no a real meat or anything other than, you know, chicken when it's on sale is all we can really afford.
Do you miss those things?
I do. I really, really do. I mean, I used to be able to go and you know, have dinner at, like, a nice restaurant and not care if it was $20 a plate. But now it's like we go somewhere and I'm looking for the cheapest thing on the menu.
So you do get out sometimes?
We do. I mean, my 21st birthday, my family wanted to make a point of going out to dinner, but I mean, we were all self-conscious of what to order and such.
Where did you go?
We ended up going to, like, the Applebee's, which, I mean, I would have loved to go somewhere a bit more special, but yeah.
When you look at what's going on, is there anything that gives you some hope right now, Erica? Things might get better.
Not really. I listen to NPR. I look at the news. Locally, it's like, it's scary. I mean, we've heard that the buses can't even make pickups at some stops because they're so full now.
So many people taking public transportation.
Yeah, and public transportation out here, the infrastructure is not that good. I mean, you can't really count on it unless you spend 3 extra hours every day to get to and from work. So we're just used to taking our cars and going wherever we need to go. I mean, I just bought a new car, too. I mean, the reason why we did that is because I had an accident. Mm-hmm. So on top of the September medical bills, I had a car accident, broke my ankle, was off work, and yeah, it's just been one of those years, I guess.
That's listener Erica Garcia in Sun City, Arizona. We heard from many, many more of you than we could include today. Our thanks to everyone who wrote in about how you're coping with the economy.
Growing concern over rising food and gas prices has many people asking whether a speculative frenzy is to blame. Is a new market bubble forming? Well, you can explore that question at npr.org. The impact on golf of Tiger Woods' knee surgery, and we'll hear from a sailor who powers her vessel by breathing. Those stories are coming up on All Things Considered.